Well, good morning, everybody. I'm glad to be here, even though I'm not all there. All sorts of exciting things happen when you're not paying attention. I looked at my clock this morning. I thought it was 9:45, and it was 8:45, and I came here an hour early today. But anyway, it's good to be here, and we are here to celebrate Jesus Christ, who is our head, and we are his bride, and this is Mother's Day, and it's a very, very special day. And some of you, especially the guys, probably have a lot of questions about what women are all about. I got a book here if you want to read it. It's written by a man, Kenneth Hagin. It's got all the biblical things in there that would be controversial with the people of the world. But it's straight out of the Bible, and it's good stuff. So if you're having any questions about women and how you're supposed to treat them and so on, I was thinking about just reading this book here for the sermon. Anyway, we've got a lot of work to do here. Since we are to be a house of prayer, let's begin with some more prayer. Father, if there's any one thing that you want, we know that is relationship. Relationship is everything, more important than all the works that we do, because salvation is not of works, but it's all about you. Having a relationship with you where we worship you, we love you, you made everything. Everything we see, everything we do is enabled because of you. And one of the things I've learned here recently, too, is to see you in everything. You're involved in our lives, and we can pray without ceasing, just thanking you for everything all the time. We thank you for our wives because they are such a gift, and it's such a beautiful illustration that we'll find out. I never realized that Jesus was married. And we just thank you, God, that you've revealed your word to us, and we keep learning. We keep learning as we go. And so, God, we just worship you, we praise you, we thank you, and ask you to teach us, give us receptive minds, and help us to become the beautiful bride that your Son, Jesus Christ, wants us to be. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you ever knew that Jesus was married? You're going to see that during sermon today. You ready for that? You got to be kidding. So let's begin in John chapter 14. That is our favorite scripture for today, John 14, 15 through 21. And notice what it says. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Oh, wait a minute. Before we begin with that, I want to read a story to you to begin with. And here is the story. In 1976, a Seattle juvenile court judge named David Sokup was struggling with an abuse case involving a 3-year-old boy. Judge Sokup realized he did not have enough information to make a decision about custody. And the child involved was too young to know what is best and to speak up for himself. In other words, the child was too young to advocate on his own behalf. It occurred to Judge Sokup that someone approved by the court needed to come alongside children as an advocate. Then judges could make a more accurate and fair ruling. And as a result of Judge Sokup's efforts to remedy situations like this, the organization CASA, in Spanish that's house, but it means court appointed special advocates, was born. CASA is now a nationwide organization training volunteers to come alongside children who are orphaned or in the foster care system. These volunteer advocates helped more than a quarter of a million children. Additionally, courts may provide a guardian ad litem to advocate for children. But it might seem like Judge Sokup created something brand new in 1976, but long before that courtroom idea, God had already shown his heart. Jesus once promised that no one who belongs to him would ever be left alone. And that's what we're here to learn, because Jesus asked the Father to do something special for us. It was a CASA for us. Now let's read John 14. He says, if you love me, you will obey what I have commanded, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. That means advocate. To be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, is our advocate. What does God call us? He calls us little children. That's who we are in God's sight. We're his little children. And we need an advocate, somebody that's going to intervene for us or interfere, but he intervenes for us. Because have you ever been in a situation where you just really don't know what to do? And you throw your hands up and you say, well, oh no, man, what am I going to do about this? Well, that's why God gave the bride of Christ, the church, this special gift of an advocate called the Holy Spirit. I will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Now the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you. That's before baptism. The Holy Spirit is with us, and then once we're baptized and have the laying on of hands, we pray, and then God puts the Holy Spirit in your heart and mind so that he is in control because you have buried yourself and surrendered your will to God's will. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because we see him in action. And when we're praying, that's the thing that we really need to learn, that the more we pray, the more you see God in action. That's why God wants us to pray without ceasing, is so that we can see God in action all the time. And he's, no matter what we're going through, even when we screw up, God's still involved because he is our Redeemer, and he redeems us through those screw-ups that we make. So just because we screw up doesn't mean God is not involved, because the whole world is screwing up and they just don't know it, like it says here. They don't know what's going on. But God is still training the world today, right now, and they don't realize it because they're being trained that sin sucks and it's going to come back and bite them in the behind. But he goes on to say, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Now, what is that day? Day of Pentecost, when Jesus was resurrected and went back to the Father, and the Holy Spirit came, and God made it clear by all these kind of speaking in tongues and miracles and everything else to let everybody know this is not just a normal another day in life. He wanted everybody to know that the bride of Christ is gifted with God living in them. Verse 21 goes on to say, whoever has my commands and ignores them. No, it says obeys them, because it's so easy to ignore them, because everybody in the world loves to ignore God's commands. It's just built into human nature. Human nature says, I want to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do it anyway because I think it's the right thing to do. But God says, obey God and seek his will, not our own will. But he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And show myself to him. Isn't that beautiful? Because he's showing himself to us all the time. And the thing is, we need to be able to see that. And one of the things that I would like to see more and more in our fellowship and our church, in the church worldwide, is that prayer becomes a lifestyle rather than something you put in your pocket and pull it out when you need it. It needs to become a lifestyle, because prayer is where all the power comes from. The power is God. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. It's available all the time. And God says, if you ask not, you have not. If you don't ask, remember Matthew 7:7? Ask and it shall be given to you. Now, what is it you're asking for? If you're asking for, we've said this many times before, you're asking for a new car, God will say, maybe so, maybe you need to learn a lesson or whatever. There's nothing wrong with a new car. My wife got one. They're great. But God wants us to seek his will first above everything else. And that's what's most important. And that is what he wants us to be seeking. And that is obeying God, is when we say, God, I want what you want. And sometimes God doesn't want what we think he wants for us. Sometimes we think he wants us to have peace and comfort and so forth. And sometimes God doesn't think that's in our best interest because we're not paying any attention to him, because we're not praying and we're not spending time with him in the word or whatever it is, because we're all suffering from the same affliction called human nature. And this human nature is always barking up our back door all the time. And so I want us to turn to Ephesians, and we're going to find out what God wants us to do in order to become, and how to treat our wives like Jesus treated his wife. Now let's notice this. Maybe we better just learn it before we turn, hold your finger there in Ephesians 6. Let's take a look at, well, let's pick up in Ephesians 6 first of all. 5, verse 25. Husbands. Now we're on Mother's Day, a very appropriate time for husbands to pay attention, because we are here to honor our wives and women in general, because the women are the weaker vessel. When it comes to lifting heavy stuff, it's a lot harder for women, and guys are there, and God made it that way, so we can take the brunt of things, to be able to take the heavy stuff. Husbands, love your wives. Now notice as he talks first about Jesus, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Now, how is that? What's that talking about? It's talking about the Holy Spirit. Because God says, when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Water is a type of the Holy Spirit. And water is priceless. And water is that advocate that we can go to, because God says, I'm going to give you a comforter. I'm going to give you an advocate. I'm going to give you this water that'll solve all your problems. It cleanses you. It works with you, and it guides you, and you can float on it. All sorts of things you can do with water. Water is amazing. And it says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, this is important to realize. What Jesus did for us, we as men need to imitate, because we're going to see that in the next few verses. He loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Holy means set apart for a specific purpose, because she has a very important role to play, to be supportive and to help and to back up and so forth, so that we can do what needs to be done that takes the heavier work and so on. Cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Because when we are employing the word in our lives and putting it into action in our lives, then we're going to be treating her the way she deserves to be treated. To present her to himself as a radiant church. Because that's what Jesus is doing. Because back in Jeremiah, he said that he took care of Israel because Israel was really messed up. But he says, I think it's Jeremiah 31, he says, although I was an husband to them. Did you know Jesus Christ was a husband to ancient Israel? It says it right there. I think it, but I didn't mark that down here. But it, I thought 31, 32, is it? But anyway, when somebody thinks it, sees it, just speak up, because we're working together. And it's talking here, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, verse 31. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. Isn't that interesting? Jeremiah 31, 32. Though I was an husband to them, declares the Lord. Now, how do we know that that was Jesus? Does anybody know the scripture to show that Jesus was the God of the Old Testament? 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 says, and that rock that followed them through the wilderness, he was the pillar of fire by night and he was the pillar of cloud by day. The rock that followed them, that rock was Christ. Jesus Christ was the God of the Old Testament. God the Father was overseeing everything, and he was working in Jesus Christ, but he used Jesus Christ. God the Father said he created the whole universe through Christ, because Jesus Christ became the creator of all things. And that's the way God chose to do that. So Jesus Christ is our example, and he knows what it's like to be a husband. And it goes on to say here, back in Ephesians chapter 5, to present him as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless, because that's what he's doing. And God is wanting us to be like Jesus. I mean, that's a pretty high calling for us men. And that's not just if you're married, because we need to treat all women with that same kind of respect, because women are very special to God just as much as men are. And God wants us to have that same kind of mutual respect. And God says to esteeming each other's better than ourselves. But notice what it says here in verse 28 of Ephesians 5. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Now, you can't do that because human nature wants to do what you want to do. That's something why we have to pray without ceasing and say, God, help me to love my wife the way Christ loved the church, because our human nature just wants to do our own thing. But if we pray without ceasing, then we can begin to do like Jesus did. He died for the church. And he says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives. They should die, be willing to die for them. Now, this is not what most people want to hear. They said, it's an equal thing. You do this and I do that, and it's all about fairness and equality. No, there's no equality in it. There's no equality. You die. When you die, you die. And you have to be willing to die to yourself. That's all through the New Testament. And he's talking about that right here. That's what Jesus did. He died for us. And as husbands need to be willing to die for their wives. What a revelation. And this is very important to understand. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Because God says to love your neighbor, and if there's anybody that's closer than your neighbor, it would be your wife, because she's in your house, hopefully, if you're getting along. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, because God says back in the Genesis 1, he created Eve out of the flesh of Adam, or actually out of the rib, but it was part of his body that she became a part of them together. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. It sure is to the world, because the world wants to say, I can do what I want. And to blankety blank with anybody else's opinion, because I am in charge here. I am the boss. Husbands, obey your wives. That's what it says over here. You see, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. And then that's the end of the book. They don't read the rest of it over here. It says, you're going to die. It's a whole different ballgame. And he says, this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ in the church. Because most people don't have a clue. They think the church is a building. They think a church is an organization. The church has nothing to do with any organization. An organization is a joke to God. He can use them, but the church are those in whom Jesus Christ is living his life by the Holy Spirit. That's the church, not anything else. Otherwise, we're barking up the wrong tree. But we can respect the organization just like we respect different religions and everything else. But we just realize they're all screwed up. And anything that has anything to do with human beings, screwed up. Because I'm one and I know what I'm talking about. So we can't trust human organizations and stuff like that. We've got to trust God and our advocate who lives in us, who gives us the power to become like Jesus. So this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ in the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So it's all about looking up to each other and realizing that the man has to take the lead to be willing to lay down everything like Jesus did, because otherwise it ain't going to work. Because if Jesus is not being obeyed and we're following his example, God isn't going to bless it. The only way God's going to bless it is when we are obedient to his commands. Like he says in that very beginning there of John 14:15, he says, "This is my command. If you love me, you will obey what I command." And just about everything that God commands is impossible for us to do without our advocate. And that's what we need to be thanking God for all the time, that he has given us this advocate, the Holy Spirit. What a gift, so that we can do the things that we could never do otherwise. Now, what I'd like us to do is to take a moment, because we've got some time, and we're going to do some practice. And let's take a look at Galatians 5. This is called the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Does anybody know what those are? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, humility, and self-control. And what we need to do is ask God, because he says you have not because you ask not. And if we want to lay down our life for our wives, then we need to ask God to give us his advocate to do it. His advocate is broken down into 9 qualities, and I actually prefer to call it 12, but there's 9 here in Galatians chapter 5, and it's verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And so I'd like us to take a moment and just be asking God, like we should be doing all the time, about each one of these. And say, God, I need your love because I don't have it. And I fall short on that all the time, and I have to keep asking God to do that. But God wants us to get into a habit of asking him for everything. He says, ask and it shall be given to you, and you're asking for something that is the will of God. So if you want to have God's love instead of your own love, just ask for it. So I'm going to start, and I'll pray about the love one first. And then what I want you to be doing is at the same time in your own mind and heart, be praying that God will give you his love, and vice versa for your husband as well. But the most important thing here is if the leader is on the right track, the wife has a lot easier job than if the guy's not on the right track. That's why if a leader is doing the right thing, it makes it a whole different ballgame. So, Father, we just come to you and we just thank you so very much that you have given us an advocate, someone who is perfect, and that's your Holy Spirit. You sent him here to live in us. He was with us before we were converted, but now he lives in us. But we do not want to forget him, God. We do not want to think we've got to handle these things, because without you, like your son said when he walked this earth, without you, Father, he could do nothing. And we can't do anything without your love. And so, God, we just collectively right now are praying to you to ask you to fill us with your love so that we will love unconditionally, that we're willing to die to ourselves and to lay down our lives and to be willing to do for others like you've commanded us to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is a very high banner. It's a goal that can only be accomplished when you live in us. And so we just ask you now to give each one of us, as this week is beginning already, that you will give us that kind of love that is unconditional. No matter what, no matter what mistakes are made, the mistakes are irrelevant. Unconditional love, just like you were with ancient Israel. You loved them and you were devoted to them and you kept raining manna on them and you opening up all sorts of miracles and doing all sorts of things. And then you withdrew those blessings when they became so rebellious that they started worshiping foreign idols, like Baal and things out of wood and stone and so on, which they needed a wake-up call. But God, we just thank you that you've given us your heart. And so, God, we just praise you. We thank you and ask you to give us all that love that only comes through your Holy Spirit directly from you. And we ask this collectively in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, now let's take a look at Galatians 5 and take a look at the next word. The next word is joy. You know what joy is? Joy is when you are happy no matter what. God says, count it all joy when you fall in trials and tribulations. We can't do that. Now, that doesn't mean we don't get sad when we lose a close relative or something like that. All those things are appropriate, and there's a time for grieving and so on. But I'm talking about looking at things from God's point of view, because when God looks at us, we're his little children. When we look at little Sora Ann, what do? We just say, wow, they're just awesome. And that's the way God is toward us. We're little children, and he just adores us, and he loves us. And he wants us to have that kind of perspective where we have joy just looking at each other. And so what I'd like us to do is just to bow our heads and to take the next 30 seconds and ask God to give you that kind of joy, okay? And we can all do it together. All right, now let's take a look at number 3. But I want us to get in the habit of just praying about everything. Because when we pray without ceasing about everything, and just take the time, just meditate. When you're driving the car, you can still meditate and still focus on what you're doing. But just be praying all the time about, most of all, the fruits of the Spirit, that God will fill us with those. Because if you have that, everything else can fall into place because God's going to be in control. Well, he's already in control. But when we don't seek his will first and we seek our own will, that's when everything goes to the wrong place. So let's ask God to give us his peace. Now, remember peace. What is peace? Anybody want to share what peace is to them? Jesus said, my peace I give to you. No doubts, no worries. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely, where you just enjoy every single minute of the presence of God because you know you've got nothing to worry about. Fear just goes right out the window. I remember when I used to be scared spitless of flying in a jet and looking down, way down below here, scared to, I love to fly. God just took away those fears, so on. So let's just pray for the next 30 seconds that God will give us his peace so that we don't have to have any kind of fear whatsoever, okay? And he can take them all away. That's his number one command in the Bible. Fear not. So let's pray. And one other thing I'll just mention about peace and so on, then you worry, oh, I don't know if I prayed properly. You don't have to worry about that either because that's a worry. It's out the window because God reads your heart. And even if you don't know what to say to somebody or whatever, God can cause people to hear what you didn't even say. Did you know that? I've seen that happen. Somebody said, well, you said this to me and it changed my life. And I realized, I didn't say anything. They heard what God, that's called speaking in tongues in my book, where God causes people to hear what he wants them to hear rather than what is actually said. Look what happened in Acts chapter 2. Everybody heard in his own language what was not being said. So the next one is love, joy, peace, patience. And in order to have more patience, we're not going to do 30 seconds. We're going to take a whole minute because we need more patience. Okay, here we go. I heard a bell. That must have been 1 minute. Somebody timing us? Because I'm just going on my fake memory. All right. So blessed are those that wait on the Lord. Because sometimes God just says, wait. It's not he's not answering. He's just wanting us to learn patience. All right. Let's take a look at the next one. Goodness. You know what goodness is? I've got an NIV, patience, and comes... I better stick with what my translation says. Is kindness is the next one in my book. So we'll just do with kindness. Kindness, that should be profound grasp of the obvious. When you're kind, what are you doing when you're kind? Are you gentle? That's right. Gentle and caring? Absolutely. When somebody gets upset with you, love it. You don't have to get upset when somebody's upset with you. That takes a miracle. But that's a beautiful thing to be able to do and actually look forward to it because it's building character in us. But when we can look at things that way, otherwise we just get caught up in the feelings of the moment, and feelings are going to all pass away, but your kindness lasts for eternity because it's the Holy Spirit. It's our advocate. So let's just ask God to help us to be kind and to remember to be doing everything that we can to make other people's lives a lot happier. And also just remember when these things are going on and while we're praying, you don't have to pray perfect. It's not going to happen anyway. Because if it's of works, then God is not impressed. The Holy Spirit needs to do the praying. And he says, my Father who is in me, he does the works. The Holy Spirit was praying through Jesus when he was praying. Just remember the two things. Thank God that he's doing it instead of you. Because if you have to do it, it ain't going to work. But ask God to do it, and the Holy Spirit will do it through you, and make sure that you obey him in the process and do what he says, because it's so much easier to just thank God and then do what you want. You have to obey him in the process. So the next one, we can ask God for him to do in us and through us, is goodness. And I didn't realize that goodness actually comes from the word generosity. You go the extra mile. You go above and beyond. And that's what God wants us to be doing. So let's just ask God to give us that willingness to go that extra mile and to go above and beyond when we don't want to do what we think we need to do. All right, the next one is faith. How many of you need more faith? Faithfulness, you know, faith, that's where you don't know what's going on and it doesn't matter because God's going to take care of it. And ask God to help us when we're not sure what's going on to just enjoy God because he already enjoys you. Anything else come to mind about faith in anybody's mind? Let's just pray and ask God to give us his faith. Two more to go. Gentleness and self-control. And gentleness, I think you can see that the way that Soraya's being cared for and giving her a little banana. That's very nice. That's gentleness. And cuddling, is that a good word? Gentleness is where you just don't overreact about anything. You just love unconditionally and you just are gentle and kind, and the words that come out of your mouth are gentle. I don't know how to describe it. Any good other definition of gentleness anybody would want to share? Soothing. I thought you said Susan. I thought you said Jose. Yeah, gentle. Be comforting. Yes, be very comforting. That's good. Excellent. Give hope so that they have hope in the situation, because sometimes things seem to be pretty hopeless. So let's just ask God to give us that gentleness and that hopefulness for us. All right, and then it's not the last one, because there's still three others that we won't focus on because they're not in this particular scripture, but knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. But you can pray for each one of those, and it'll make a consummation of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But self-control, temperance, being balanced, don't go to extreme. I can look in the mirror and say a hoarder is lacking self-control. You got to have more. We all have our weaknesses and so on, but we need to ask God to help us because we're helpless without God. And sometimes we just forget to ask because we enjoy our weakness, and that's not healthy. So let's just pray about that. And one reason I did this, just for the benefit of everybody to understand why, is being quiet is not easy. Most everybody wants something going on all the time, but having that quiet time with God, notice how uncomfortable it might have made you feel to begin with and so on, but just build a habit of being quiet and listening to God and talking to God and building that relationship, and I can guarantee you that when you build that intimate relationship with God and that kind of love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth, your wife is going to be a lot happier, and so will your husband, whoever it is, because that's what brings true love. Love is the encapsulation of every one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and that's why God wants us to love one another as Christ loved us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so very much that you've given us Jesus, who is a perfect example of all of these fruits. And we just thank you for this Mother's Day and for the honor that we have of having you call us to be part of the wife of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his bride. What an honor. We can't thank you enough. We are blown away that you have called us to be the bride of Christ. And all the glory goes to you, God, and we just ask this blessing on each of us as we go from here, that we can become just like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.